Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Are you ready to party hard with the Hardy Bards? It's episode 109.
109.
Trying something new. Wow. Trying something new there.
I'm glad you did. That was a choice. That was a bold
I took,
choice.
Yeah, it was so bold, it was almost italic.
Almost.
Yeah. Maybe.
Sorry, I'm just learning to drink again.
I understand. Well, you got the new throat. Like you gotta navigate this new creature living inside of your upper respiratory tract.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And this little segment goes out to Mike Ott.
Oh.
Who today, I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. Jump ahead for this.
But he said he could use a little bardic knowledge today.
Mm-hmm.
So that little sound effect. Hold just a sec. Got to get one in the other ear
okay,
from
ready?
Andy. That's for you, Mike.
Mike.
Bardic.
Bardic knowledge.
He didn't want.
No.
I was going to say Bardic love, but that's a whole different thing.
Bardic love is something entirely different.
Bardic knowledge. That's what Mike Ott got.
Yeah. It's the same role, though.
Yeah.
Just a different outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I did think he said something about sad face emoji or something like that. Oh, unsure emoticon. I don't know. Eh? How do you type an unsure emoticon? Quit typing on your phone! Or are you looking for the emoticon? He's looking for the emoticon.
Looking for the emoticon of the colon dot slash?
Oh, the like backslash? slanty face.
Emoticon. Yeah. The,
okay. Yeah. Okay. That's the sound. That's the face I make when I make that sound. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Done.
That's what I use that emoticon. Well, I don't even know if it's an emoticon. Isn't that ASCII art at that point?
It's not emoji. It is an emoticon.
Okay.
Emoji is the. It's got to be the picture.
Okay.
I'm assuming the in emoji is the for art or for artwork in Japanese.
Okay, so it is not like a copyrighted emoji is one style of emoji is a thing like...
I think so. I think it's the picture. It's...
Man, I almost said a different Japanese word that I was so glad that I pulled back.
Edamame?
Nope.
Bukake? You were going to say bukake, weren't you?
It's not hentai. It's
hentai for one.
It's not hentai. Yeah. It's
anime.
Not anime. Begins with an M. Same line of thinking.
Manga.
Manga. That's it. Yes.
You can have hentai manga.
Yes.
Yes, and you can probably have emoji manga.
Probably.
That's probably fine. I don't bukkake manga. It's not a good thing for paper.
No.
Although,
it's a good thing for paper if you're playing Cards Against Humanity.
That is true.
Because it's pixelated, so
yes,
it's safe.
That's true. That's fine. That's totally fine. So, let's talk about our weeks.
Okay.
You want to go first or you want me to go first? Because I don't
care. Either or.
Okay, my week sucked. my weekend was fine. My week was weak, again.
Uh-huh.
Just doing the corporate thing, again, which blows. But I'm learning Python now. Oh, you like the shirt? Yeah, you didn't know. Shirt. Yeah,
welcome to Camp Crystal Lake.
It's a wonderful place. So quiet.
Yes. So quiet.
Just, you know, the crickets out there. Very peaceful, relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
You sleep like the dead.
Sorry, I interrupted your week, though.
Yeah, well, I'm glad, because it was terrible. I'm learning Python.
Oh, okay.
Not a herpetological thing. I'm just a scripting language.
Yep.
That is ridiculous, because for their... just in general, scope is defined by indenting, which hurts me somewhere in my deeps. Hurts me in my deeps, because you don't use curly braces to do scope. You do indenting. It's a little weird. It's a little weird. Getting weird. And I don't like it. But it's all right.
You're learning it.
Python's pretty cool, I guess, if you have to learn something. If you want to get a job at Amazon, learn Python. I'm telling you that right now.
Or
don't get a job at Amazon.
No,
or what?
Have a director friend who is in personal contact with Mr. Bezos.
Oh, yeah.
Who then asks you to do a little something.
Is this, are you speaking from experience here?
I was very excitedly speaking from experience this morning. This afternoon, however, I may be, air quotes right now, too old.
Oh. Mr. Bezos doesn't like him old. He wants you to come and do something special for him, but you got to be young.
I can't say anything about this.
Yeah, don't say anything about it.
But think Step Brothers
mm-hmm.
as a Christmas commercial
uh-huh.
for a product
mm-hmm.
deep in a rainforest.
Got it.
Company.
Got it.
And so they think, so I compiled all those lovely new headshots that I got,
uh-huh.
especially the ones where I was clean shaven.
Yes.
And went, here's a montage of all the different looks of me. How many different ones can there be? I don't know. I'll be whatever you want. And so I sent that back to this person. So
gotcha.
It would only be spec anyway.
Okay.
And then it might turn into something. But
he made yada, yada, yada hands for those of you not viewing us through secret cameras. So,
because I have swept this room for bugs. And I don't mean the multi-legged kind.
But also literally those. Yeah. There's a book staring me in the face right now called Cobweb. So that's fun. Because we were just talking about it. Yeah. So how was your week? Because that's pretty much what mine was.
My week was almost unadvantageous. I'd finished all my web stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Took a little break for myself. Mm-hmm. I have done my due diligence and watched the Ex Machina,
of which
Andy
will
soon be,
but soon
doing. Mm-hmm. And in the spirit of all things Bardic, I'm going to watch it again to see if there's anything that I missed the first time.
Because good on you.
I know who I'm up against, and he has like a photographic memory for movies, so I have to make sure I'm on my game. So I'm very excited about having
completed that.
It's
a shitty Polaroid, though. The edges get a little fuzzy.
Photo.
You know, Guy Pearce scribbles on it in Sharpie. It's
mine.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is Fred Flintstone looking through the viewfinder and the woodpecker pecking on granite.
It's a living.
It's a living. That's right.
Yes. Oh, that is one thing that we both did this week that I forgot to mention, but we can talk about it after if you want. Because we both did a little bit of voice recording.
Oh, true. Yes, we did.
And that should be publicly available. Also, Scott still has the plague. Not the actual plague, just some kind of like
temporary plague.
He's down to one lung, is what we're getting at. Are you going to wear the hat? Is it cold?
No, if I have to cough again, I will use it.
You'll
as
muffle.
A muffler.
Ah, good call. He's got a little frog hat he's going to muffle with. So.
And what does the frog hat have?
Kermit. Kermit eyes. Oh, little
muffler.
Muffler, yeah. It's true, it does. That's weird. I just like they're going to be coughing into Kermit's ocular lobes.
Yep.
And
his ears are going to get huge.
He doesn't have ears.
You're right, he doesn't.
Yeah. He just borrows Miss Piggy's.
His little limbs will become Popeye-like.
Well, he used to borrow. Now they're divorced or whatever.
Yeah.
Broken up, yeah. So,
yeah.
Whatever.
Apparently pigs do fly.
First class from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did the voiceover stuff, which we'll also get into part two of that.
Yes. But it was for Star Mazer, and we'll get into the whole discussion about that in a little bit.
For me, it was another week of To Kill a Mockingbird, but for me, it was a historic week because it was the longest technical week of the run, which was 5 days. We had shows Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You could say it was the same as the week before when we had a preview, which is an audience, but they're not paying, and it's a, you know, hey, for the community type thing.
Right.
So, technical week, 5 days. We sold out every performance.
Wow.
Including the pay what you can, to which you can't call in. Mm-hmm. You have to show up at the box office when it opens at noon.
With your dollars.
With your dollar or cents or dollars. Mm-hmm. And physically show up, and I believe you can only get two tickets so that you and your friend can go, but you can't go. I'm going to get 10 tickets.
Right.
So a minimum of 107 people walked up to get their pay what you can tickets for To Kill a Mockingbird, which I did not think would have this fervor, and it sold out in under an hour.
Wow.
I feel a little bit like Pearl Jam or Foo Fighters right now, saying, "We're doing a special pay what you can concert."
Selling out those big auditoriums with 214 seats.
I have never worked there where we have sold out.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty interesting.
And, of course, there's going to be the smattering of people who don't show. But there were two nights where it was estimated house count of 210, actual house count of 214.
Wow.
And that is max seating.
Wow.
So that was really cool. And in the 9 official plus one shows that we've done in the 2 weeks, we have had an uproarious standing ovation every night that starts with the first set of us, which is me, Tom Robinson, and the judge coming out to take our bows. People start standing then, and the entire place, given that they are physically able to stand, is on their feet by the time the Atticus and the kids are out. And I have experienced that only one other time, which was Sins of the Mother, my first show there. Because it was, this is a remarkable show. Sins was a world premiere, out of this world experience.
Right.
But Mockingbird is doing very well. We have 2 more weeks. And if you come, potentially this Friday, you may get to see the hopefully unhungover Damon and Kelsey Van Hee, Sean and Becky Shelton, and maybe an Aubrey.
Oh.
Thrown into the mix.
Well, and they're easy to pick out on account of the blue hair on the Damon. Well, and the purple on the Kelsey.
But he had a birthday.
He did, definitely. Oh, God. Yes, he had a birthday.
And Andy and I, at alternate times,
we did not...
We're there.
We might be the same person, because we were in the same place at the same time.
That's right.
Yeah, it was. It's at a dive. And when I say dive...
Here's the name.
It's called the Tug Inn.
I-N-N. But yes. When you say it, I'm going to the Tug Inn.
And... So I made sure to clarify, do I need to pre-tug? Should I tug before I go? Is there going to be tugging there? What does one wear to tug? I had to clarify these things. They kept
and will
me up.
There be a necessity for a post-tug tug?
There might be a post-tug tug. I'll tell you this. It was greasy. It was stinky. And it was loud. Just like a tug
and
should
very
be.
Very wet.
And very wet.
Yes.
It wasn't as wet while we were there. We went in dry.
Well, it was. There was a lot of liquid involved.
Oh, yes. That kind of wet, yes.
And by, I mean,
well,
it stayed dry.
If you're
going to
tug all night,
well.
you're going to need a lot of alcohol.
Yes.
That's true. Very interesting. Oh, it's, yeah. It's one of those places, it's one of those low places people talk about.
But it's an awesome low place.
They do have their food, which their cook was out. Air quotes. Their cook was out, so you couldn't get a hamburger or grilled cheese. But everything else on the menu is just deep fried or baked for a minute. Like their pizzas are just like Totino's, whatever. Yep. But they have the craziest deep fried shit. So like, there's deep fried mushrooms, and they're very good there. Like very good.
Yeah,
I will say that. But then they have things like deep fried macaroni and cheese wedges, which you're supposed to get 6. You get about a billion.
Right.
But they are like a Dorito-shaped Kraft dinner macaroni and cheese deep fried in a shell. And then...
And those are pretty good.
Those are pretty good. But then the piece de resistance. This place's claim to fame, aside from being the Tug Inn and serving cheap alcohol, are breakfast sticks.
Yes.
Which are deep fried egg, cheese, and either sausage or ham combobulations. Artery clogging little sticks of doom that are super, super dense breakfast food. And they give you a bottle of Mrs. Butterworth's on to spread on them. And they are good, crazy, crazy dense, and only $2.50 for three of them.
Yes.
It is scary.
And a good value.
A good value.
I would have to say.
I assume it's to sell their beer and whatnot in the morning, apparently.
Well, they're served all day.
I know. They are. Which is great. But they're salty, and they're hot, and they're dense, and you do want to drink after you eat one.
Salty, hot, dense, and sticky. Yeah. Just the way a tug-in should be.
Yeah, exactly.
And
seriously, like, if you discounted our party, maybe 34 teeth in the entire place.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, not a lot of teeth.
No.
And not necessarily about, due to meth.
No, about 28 people, but about 34 teeth.
Yes.
No, just hard living.
Just hard living.
Hard living.
Yep.
Just hard living going down to the tug after a hard day of living.
Yeah, in West Seattle.
In West Seattle.
So it's not, it's a dive.
Yeah.
It's a hole in the wall, but it's not a skeevy, skanky.
It's a little skeevy. They do have pull tabs, which.
Every.
I know.
Bar. Not tavern. Sorry, every tavern is going to have them in
they
the state
are,
of Washington.
Yes, but they are prominent.
Yes.
I mean prominent.
But there's not a bunch of meth tweakers.
No, there's not a bunch. There were some woo girls, which was interesting to me. On the inside, I went to go get our water, which, the looks. The looks when you order water at Tug Inn. Went to get our water, and there were some.
What? Water and a what back?
Yeah. You want water in what? What do you want water in? You want water in whiskey? No, I would like water in a pitcher. Oh, you want PBR? No, real water in a pitcher. But there were a couple of like, woo, we're slumming at the Tug Inn, woo, under the TV playing pool. Well, playing pool. They weren't playing pool. They were failing at pool. I'm not a good pool player, but Jesus. They were probably already 48 sheets to the wind at this point. So, because if you're in college, Tug Inn's where you go if you want to stretch your getting drunk dollar.
Yes.
So, yeah, fun day
for
Damon's birthday, his 34th. Another birthday, we had Aaron Buman turn the big 30.
What? How did I not know that?
Because he just chilled out. It was a very low-key birthday, it appears. I didn't get to find out anything.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
Shame on you, human.
You missed the Jesse Lee Keeter at Damon's birthday. He and Sarah were there.
Oh, I did miss the Jesse Lee Keeter.
Yeah, you did. You did. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to try and get a game night together here soon. So
I'll
have you over to that if you're not killing mockingbirds.
Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday. We'll see. We'll see what we can do.
And then... Bringing full back to the voiceover, after each of us in our respective times left the Damon Van Hee birthday party.
Indeed.
We were seen at the same location.
Yes.
At Chop Suey in Seattle.
Chop Suey in Seattle.
A concert venue that was taken over by the Star Mazer
team of musicians.
8-bit music.
Yes.
Warlords. Which, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. I like the bass, but man,
he's all about that bass.
I don't understand some of the stuff that I witnessed.
Nor
how it's played.
Well, some of it wasn't played; it was mixed.
Right.
Some of it was it's composed on a MacBook.
Uh huh.
Plugged into a thing and then mixed live.
You're
listening to the mixing live.
Right.
And
that's the thing that I appreciated the music. I really appreciated the camera over the guys and just watching them hit these multicolored buttons between the two of them and sliding things. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is incredible because it's like Dance Dance Revolution on steroids to the point of I'm just hitting pads.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those pads that aren't a key on a piano mm-hmm. and aren't a key on a brass instrument mm-hmm. or a fret. They can be anything at any time.
Right.
That they can do that. And I'm just like, I don't understand how you get to the level that those people are
right.
of that.
Frankly, if someone hadn't dropped the ball and brought the Molly, it would have been much more incredible. But as it stands, it was still pretty neat. You were responsible.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine. It wasn't good. It wasn't the right time for a rave.
No.
No. The Trin Miller was there. Josh and Mandy Truex. Don't forget Mandy. We had Brian Lewis, oh God, sporting the wiggiest wig. Bird nest wig. Because he's wearing Brick M. Stonewood hair, which is a wig teased into a pompadour, but it's not quite a pompadour. It's terrifying and
it's
wonderful.
It's a bird's nest plus pompadour plus cotton candy.
Yes.
Plus bird nest soup without the soup.
Right. Well, that's the bird nest part. It looks like bird spit that's been...
But I was giving it two yeah. sets of bird
two
nests.
It was kind of a double nest.
It's got stuff sticking mm-hmm. out of it that aren't it. And then yeah. it has the bird's nest soup part of it.
And he had a bunch of LED powered lights on him and stuff
yes,
like that.
Which
and
this I was love just, the yeah. L-wire.
Yes, the L-wire. He was just... This was just the cosplay version of the costume. This isn't their final version.
No. No, God, no.
Which, oh, man, I am not looking forward to this, because you and I both get to be in full motherfucking body makeup.
Yep.
Head to toe, latex makeup.
Yeah.
Prosthetics. Potentially, for me, a prosthetic eye, and I don't even know how I'm going to... Maybe a camera or something to see the real world, but... It's going to be maybe a digital eye thing.
It'll be mirrors focusing one image in front of you.
Yeah. It's going to be hot and miserable, and I'm going to love every second of it.
And on the poster,
mm-hmm.
I look like something between Davy Jones and Lou Gossett Jr. on Enemy Mine.
Oh, right. So when you say Davy Jones, you don't mean Davy Jones.
I don't mean
the
monkeys. No, I mean Bill Nye.
Daydream believer and a homecoming queen.
I mean the first Davy Jones. The dead
one. The one with the locker.
Yeah.
Right.
The one with the locker and the squid
face. Zoidberg face.
Zoidberg, yeah. Kind of the Cthulhu of the deep. I don't know.
Well, isn't Cthulhu of the deep?
And he's just really awesome looking. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the thing that we did the voiceover for, and I was like, I can't wait to see. And then I saw me, and I was like, he's kind of Darth Vader-ish.
Yeah, and that's why.
And I was like, oh, that is so bad. Either way that it goes,
yeah,
I am so down.
It may well go both ways. You may have the mask or whatever that you take off. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like some Babylon 5 shit.
Yeah. I didn't
which
get
I'm really excited yeah. about.
I was sad I didn't get to see Espeleth, who's playing Bunny Bitshift.
Yeah.
She never showed up.
Was she supposed to?
She's here. I don't know if she was supposed to show up, but she's in town.
Oh, I did not know that she was in town.
Yeah. But we did get to see a lot of, you know, Alex Maurer and all the people mm-hmm. doing music for it were there, which was great.
The artist. Whose name I can't remember.
Oh boy. The guy who did the posters and the t-shirts.
The guy who did the posters, the t-shirts,
he, wonderful,
who had the
wonderful
Twitch
art.
Video.
And I feel terrible because I do not remember his name either. Just because, unfortunately, we've been too busy. It's
too busy,
with
too
life.
Many names. Another reason to remember Josh and Trin and Brian is because we've worked with them so many times we can't.
Brian.
I'm not
following.
I know.
Yeah. The best part about the evening, though, I think, aside from the Long Island iced tea that the lovely barkeep made for me, which was just all of the alcohols.
Yeah.
Which it should have been. It was $14, but it was worth it. I mean, it had like, you know, it had like $7-$8 worth of alcohol in there. And that's a pretty tight margin for a bar in downtown Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, Cap Hill, I guess. But
because they ripped the labels off the booze, so we don't know.
The bottle shapes were okay for some of them. Like, yeah. I could tell that the, you know, like, I could tell that some of it was that, like, that bottom shelf fucking gold cap shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, like, the vodka was, it was obviously, it was Absolute. I couldn't tell what the gin was. But
I'm guessing...
white tequila was white tequila, which they don't make a lot of bottom shelf white tequila. They make some. For white tequila?
HDR.
Oh, I don't think...
Sorry, HRD. Hood yeah. River Distillery.
Okay. I don't know what this stuff was. It wasn't... I mean, it was probably... It
wasn't that bad, but...
It was probably just Jose, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's probably what it was. But anyway, but the best part of the night, sorry, getting off track, was our green room, which was in actuality a champagne room. Our green room... Scott's dying a little bit. Our green room was a small room with a couple of couches and a stripper pole. And high above all of it was a giant Chinese dragon head. Hold on, guys. We got a... I'm actually going to pause the podcast to make sure... We're good? Well, I don't know about that. Scott sounds like he's actually dying. So, if you're a doctor, particularly a pulmonologist... You want to come on the show and diagnose Scott's pneumonia, which I think he has. I think he's got walking pneumonia. Please, please come on board, because I'm just going to be a dick and I'm going to buy him a bunch of yogurt and heavy cream. That's my plan. But maybe you can come and help him out. You okay, Scott?
Yeah, just couldn't breathe.
Well, that's important to do.
Yeah.
It's okay to pause the podcast.
No, we don't edit.
Well, that's not editing.
I don't have time.
I don't have time. I'm going to die.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. I'm back.
Oh, man. I hope that I hope you keep that at bay on stage. Poor heck.
I have not backstage, but I have so far managed to not on stage.
Wow.
I have had migraines as an actor walk on stage and they go away, so...
Yeah, no, I get that,
my body gets a little bit of conditioning of, don't you fucking dare make me look bad.
Yeah, but I think, like, at one point here, your lung was collapsing, and I just don't know how you're going to project with one lung.
I don't either.
You'll find a way.
I'll squeeze one of the children. Just tuck them up under there.
So I guess that about wraps up our weeks. Should we get to questions?
Yeah.
All right. And again, guys, sorry about, if you are a backer and you've been waiting patiently and you have been waiting patiently for your rewards, please, please again, understand that this is not a normal occurrence. We're just in a situation where, I mean, how long is the drive? It's substantial. 40, 50 miles? No, it's over. It's more than
no, exit 105.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're at exit like 60 something, 160 something.
Okay, so it's about 50 miles, but...
But it's through Tacoma traffic.
So I have to leave here. Mm-hmm. When I carpooled with Aaron, we would leave University of Washington.
Now, this is not my Aaron. This is a different Aaron.
Aaron Lamb, who's playing Atticus. And Helen, we would leave...
He's playing Helen. That's amazing.
4:30.
P.M.
To get to a 7 o'clock rehearsal.
Yes. And you wouldn't always make it.
No.
Yeah. So,
and then Sundays, what we haven't been doing Sundays is I try to leave Olympia. Show gets done right about 5 by the time we get done and detoxed and breathe, hit the road at 5:30. It's 2 hours at least just to get to Tacoma.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then another hour.
And that's 30 miles. Yeah. 30 miles to get to Tacoma.
Yeah.
And it takes, yeah. So just keep in mind that is, we promise we are going to get to you guys. We are going to get these rewards out for our Patreon backers. But thank you so much for being patient and understanding.
And if I do shows in the future, which I hope that I do,
mm-hmm.
this has been a new traffic development that we've... Mm-hmm. None of us have ever run into. So there will be contingencies
yes.
made and all that jazz. So, as Andy says, thank you very much for your patience and understanding and your patronage.
Yes.
We really appreciate you guys.
And your Patronus.
Helping us do what we do, and soon...
keeping away our dark specters.
Yes. I would say 2016, we should have the new Bardic Studio.
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we can make that happen with...
sometime within the year. Now. Not the beginning of the year. Sometime within
I think we can have it by the beginning
really?
Of the year.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay. That's impressive.
Yeah. I've been setting stuff aside, so...
do you think that's how Harry Potter orders a tequila? Just knocks on the door, walks in, and says, "I expect a Patrona."
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not.
Oh, okay, I'll beat it.
Okay.
For the show, we always have themed drinks around the show. I will give you, with that intro, the guess to what this drink is. Now,
Tequila
always...
Mockingbird.
Yep.
Bam, motherfucker.
Most of the time, they have something to do with the show. Like, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof was something Georgia-esque.
Like a julep or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had, I think they talked about lavender or something. So it had that in it and had this whole thing. And I walked out front. I was like, oh, I wonder what we're going to do for Alabama. Mm-hmm. You know, this will be an interesting drink. And I see Tequila Mockingbird. I'm like,
yep.
But there's no fucking tequila in Alabama.
Well, there's tequila in Alabama, but it's probably illegal. I always saw a Tequila Mockingbird because I've wanted to do this drink ever since I read this back in high school as a tequila sunrise, but you use Chambord to make it dark.
I'm pretty sure that's what this is.
Yeah, I called it.
It's basically a tequila sunrise that's not quite...
because the raspberry would really kick it up, too. Yeah. It'd make it nice and dark.
I'll have to see what it is, and I'll send you the recipe.
Please do.
But that brings us to questions.
Questions. Thanks to everyone who wrote in this week with a question. As you guys know, the questions keep us going because our lives are trying to kill us.
Yeah.
So.
And not in a good creative way at the moment.
Life is a terminal disease.
It is.
So, yeah. All right. You want to get us going here?
Yes. Now that they're small enough, in actual order of submission, last week, Dennis Nickel wrote in. He's been silent for a while and has also noted that over the past few weeks, you guys haven't mentioned any culinary delights in your adventures, yet you are still tubby as ever.
You're a dick, Dennis.
He's your family, right?
He's working out. And he's got that smug, working out thing going on. So
I'm sorry, I misnamed him. So, Dennis Nickel writes. So he says, "What have you been doing to quote sustain yourselves lately?"
Funny thing is, I don't think we've been anywhere super interesting. I go to Spitfire at lunch occasionally, because it's right where I'm at. But we haven't, the Tug, I guess, would be about the only interesting culinary thing we've had, and we've already talked about that. Oh, you've got more?
A little bit.
Oh, yeah, tell me.
I had a really nice filet mignon at, Hearthfire.
You mean a filet mignon?
Yes, a filet mignon. At Hearthfire, which is an Anthony's restaurant in Olympia, that was really quite incredible.
Wonderful.
It was really good. But the best meal I've had in a while was prepared for me Sunday morning by none other than the artistic director of Harlequin Theater and husband to the managing director and our director of To Kill a Mockingbird. And it was, I asked what spices he put in, and then he laughed and confessed it was a bottle or a can of...
did you forget? Don't forget!
S&W, I want to say Cajun or Creole black beans.
Okay.
So it had some... it wasn't just a can of black beans. It had something else in it. A good half, if not whole, diced avocado. Two different amazing heirloom tomatoes, scrambled eggs with shaved white cheese. Oh, and there was sausage in the black beans. And some awesome squeezed, it said apple juice, but it was milky, so that's got to be cider.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Or natural press apple
juice. Natural press apple could be it, yeah.
But it was...
All that cyanide makes it milky.
I mean, the night before, saw the Sea Doyle and the M. Lofquist at the Reef, and then... When saw Aaron and
that's Blaine. The Maggie and the Christian for those of you playing,
and some other cast and directors and their parents at Dillinger's, which is a very expensive bar, which is why I went there last. And then I was lucky enough to stay down in Olympia last weekend, so woke up watching a little Chuck, which I'm watching on the Netflix, going back and forth between Narcos, which is really quite good. I highly recommend Narcos. New Netflix original about Pablo Escobar. And it's really quite interesting.
Pablo Escobar.
So, yeah, I'm just doing that. Like, and I had the headphones on. And I kind of hear something that doesn't sound like what I'm watching. And I kind of look over my shoulder and there's Scott staring down at me. Scott! Do you want breakfast?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Sorry. So, yeah, it was awesome.
It's fucking awesome. Yeah, the best meal I've had in the last week is when I cooked.
Nice.
I did a flat iron steak. Did a salt crust on it with garlic, black pepper, Lee and Perrins, Worcestershire.
Yep.
However you pronounce it.
Gotta have the Worcestershire shire sauce.
The Worcestershire.
Worcester.
Come on down to Worcester. So I did that in a buttered pan with Kerrygold Irish butter, because fuck anything else.
That's
I did I sauteed some mushrooms also in butter and spiced those up a little bit. A little bit of red cooking wine on those, you know, got them nice and glazed. Put that on top of the steak. Broccoli, a little bit of cheese sauce. It was good. Yeah. It was very good.
Why don't you ever cook for me like that?
I know. Well, I did do that omelet with all of your special magic eggs that one time. So Scott's sister gave him first run eggs, or whatever they're called, the first eggs from the hens, which are all fucked up. They're all weird looking and small, but they're also super, super, super like tasty. They're really concentrated flavor. So I made him an omelet, and I used those eggs. It was a good omelet, though. Well,
you made us.
I made us omelets. Yeah.
But it was a full dozen.
It was a full dozen to make a fucking omelet, because they were tiny.
Because they're tiny. They're like smaller than a Cadbury. I would say smaller than a Cadbury egg. More like the...
They're almost as small as a Cadbury egg now versus a Cadbury egg from 10 years ago, which was a normal, which was somewhere between them and an egg.
Yeah.
Cadbury eggs are getting smaller by the year.
Yes.
Those were good fucking omelets.
It's like, what did you put in this? He's like, just a little. Use those tiny eggs you had.
It's okay. We made up. We gave you lots of eggs. So
what else was I going to do? Make a bunch of tiny omelets?
No. So the only other thing we did was we did on Saturday have a business meeting, and we did that at Duke's Chowder House. Which has gone up in price substantially since the last time I was there.
Shame on you, Duke.
Which is why I suggested Duke's Chowder House, because I'm like, oh, it's not cheap, but it's not that bad. No, the minimum price, the smallest item on the menu was $9. That's a cup of chowder.
Yep.
That's $9 for a cup of chowder. The cheeseburger I got was, I think, $15. And I substituted chowder, which was an additional $5 added on. So,
oh no, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel horrible about
that. Well, anything else you would have ordered would have been $25.
Yeah.
Anything else you would have ordered. Any fish on that menu, $25. Yeah. It was insane. And it wasn't great.
No, the burger was
okay.
Too far done.
Oh, it was way too done, but there's
way too done.
You know, there's been a scare. There's another
E. coli. I don't care. Okay. Ask me how I want them done. Mm-hmm. I will take E. coli, because
But yeah, it was. Wasn't great. The bun was nice.
Bun was nice.
I like the bun.
It was kind of brioche, but not.
It was brioche. Well, and it was a
fully
local
brioche.
I think it was ECB, a central or EBC.
Yeah.
So it was an EBC local bun. EBC is a central baking company for those playing at home. Knock that off your bingo board.
Yes.
But no, nothing's topped the meal I made at home.
Yeah,
The steak that I made, it was good.
And I've been making super plain. Although I have discovered an awesome new salad.
Yeah.
Ground turkey. And for those of you playing at home, working out,
mm-hmm.
or trying to lose weight, which I am,
mm-hmm.
this is an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I get my big box of $5 lettuce from Safeway or QFC or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And I grab a handful of that, and I just give it some chops.
Just a couple of chops.
Half inch thick slices. Just
go a little greenhorn on it. Cha-cha!
Make it a little more, and it's got to go in a bowl, can't go in a plate.
Right.
So that it makes it a little easier to mix around and doesn't flop everywhere.
Right.
But you still have some.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. And then you take some ground turkey, mm-hmm. and you brown that up, mm-hmm. and then hit it with your favorite burrito seasoning,
okay,
or enchilada seasoning, or whatever you want to flavor the meat with. But now you got a super low fat, healthy meat,
mm-hmm.
that, come on, let's face it, hamburger burrito and ground turkey burrito with all of that sauce,
it just tastes good.
It just tastes like burrito and meat.
You want the taste and the chewy. That's what you want.
So you get a big bowl of salad,
mm-hmm.
you throw that in there,
mm-hmm.
you grab some salsa. Instead of a salad dressing,
mm-hmm.
just throw salsa, because salsa is zero, lettuce is zero.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some turkey, which is damn near zero.
Well.
And then I can throw some cheese in there.
Because
you're so close to zero.
Mm-hmm.
And really, a third of a cup of cheese is 130 calories. Even I would have a hard time enjoying a salad.
Yes.
With a third of a cup of cheese on it. So you grab a thing, throw it in there, mix it up, and now that you've cut the lettuce, you can mix it up really good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's coated. Slam a fork in there and throw that thing in your face. Mm. Mm. And it keeps, because you can just nuke.
Yeah.
Get that meat hot again. Mm-hmm. Throw it in there. Cheese starts to break down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
I have not had dinner yet.
I haven't either. Yeah, and now I'm thinking about. Mm.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's get through this.
Let's do that. Rob McLennan asks,
mm-hmm.
"Has there ever been a time that you were involved in a shoot, and everyone realized the script was going horribly wrong, and so had to get an on-the-spot rewrite?"
We are we work in Seattle, where the people who write the script think nothing is ever wrong with the script.
Mm-hmm.
So the closest we've gotten is stuff we've written ourselves, because we've done rewrites on the day.
Yeah.
We did have to do a rewrite for something on Journey Quest, but I don't remember what. It's really not that big of a deal. It's a big deal for the actors, because they have to learn their lines.
Right.
So it's generally a huge deal for them. But that's usually not what happens. It's a location. Yeah, it's a location change, or they get lines cut, or they add one or two lines here and there to make the new fucked up location work.
Right.
Or like if you're Brian Lewis and can't shave your head again and put on a bald cap, you make a joke about it looking like a bald cap.
Mm-hmm.
Which we didn't actually have to do, because we got really good bald cap people.
Yeah.
But it's happened, and it will always happen in the future. That's why you have your blue scripts, your pink script. You have scripts on the day that you generally during a production pick up as an mm-hmm. actor. And the daily scripts are the ones with any changes from the night before. So it happens all the time, so much so that it's baked into the process.
Yeah, I have probably not right behind me, but very close to right behind me.
Yeah.
Well, I have the original Darkness Rising script
uh-huh.
with all colored pages.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, there ain't just two.
No. That's what they do.
White pages, pink pages, blue pages, yellow pages, mm-hmm. green pages,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe purple.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into some weird ass shit.
Yeah. So to give you guys a little context, what happens is White pages are the script you get when the script is locked.
Day one.
When it's day one. Here's your script. As script pieces change, they print out, like, pink pages usually is the first one for some reason. It's like, okay, pick up your pinks on, you know, from your box or whatever, depending on how your set is set up. Or the AD will just hand out the pink pages. You go through, you quickly highlight your shit again. But you replace the pages, you replace, you know, and they'll tell you which pages to replace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these replace, you know, 43 through 51 and 63, you know, and you go through and you take the little fucking brads out of the script and you put it back together and you're good.
Yep.
You know, but generally you only really have to do that if you're really serious about, like, keeping the script up to date so that you have a constant comment on what it is and keeping a shooting script.
Right, which usually, is what we did for Darkness.
Usually you get sides.
Yeah, we had a plethora of trees on the planet when we did that movie.
Oh, back in 2008?
And so everybody had a 5-inch thick script by the end.
Yeah.
But now, like you say, everybody gets their script.
Mm-hmm.
You get it in a 3-ring binder.
Mm-hmm.
You carry that. That is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That is the, let me see if I'm doing this right, that what you have in your hand is the King James Bible.
Yes.
When you show up
on
set,
not the Dead Sea Scrolls,
you may get sections of the New Testament.
Yeah.
Which will have, hey, we've made some changes, make sure you check this out.
Yeah.
And then you get a half sheet, tiny script, which is great because it fits in your back pocket quite nicely.
Keep your eyes out when you're in the movie theaters, because a lot of times you can see those sides poking out of people's pockets.
Yeah, yeah. I've
noticed a few.
I've noticed a few. I've had it. Luckily, everything's been covered, but I've noticed there's a little pooch that might be a little different.
We can't even keep our fucking sound packs covered, dude. Up here. So yeah, it's like I said, it's so built into the process that there's process around it. It's really not that bad. Now, when it gets bad is you're 30 hours into a 48-hour film race, and the script changes. That's when it gets bad.
Yeah.
And we've had that happen too, but it hasn't been. I mean, again, it's usually location-based, or you couldn't get something that you thought you could get, or an actor doesn't show up, and you just roll with it.
Right. But I'm going to try to quickly condense a story.
Yeah, shoot.
That ties into that. Which is the lowest I will ever go for a film.
This is going to be really fucking low.
I'm not going to name the film because I do not want anyone to try to find it.
Is this a film that I almost auditioned for? Okay.
There was a film that came out and someone had somehow seen my reel and said, I just want you for this one particular character. And it was to start the movie off, and it was a very dark film.
This is the one I'm thinking of. I thought I was going to read for it, and I didn't end up reading.
Oh,
if okay. It's the
yeah,
yeah, the wheeling. Oh. Yeah, I almost read for that.
I did not know that.
I almost read for Fat Man.
Okay, yeah. Clue 2, name of character, which I asked.
But I found out they were filming it on like an iPhone or something, and I was like, bye.
You're ruining my story.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry.
So, I talk with these people and say, it sounds really interesting. I'm a little skeptical about the scene. Can I please see the script? So, I look at the whole script, and it's a horrific scene, but it's set up once and mentioned throughout. But you never see it again. So it's that quick flash of something horrific and then moves on. But you keep flashing back to that as the person, not them gratuitously flashing back to it on the screen. So I was like, okay, I can kind of get behind this. Then there was a local thing that happened where a father blew up a house and killed his two boys and himself in it. And I thought this touched a little... It was nowhere near the same thing, but it was just like, I'm not comfortable. And I think we were doing Journey Quest Season 2.
Yeah. I almost don't want you to link to that story, Seth. It's really
depressing. Yeah, no. Don't. No. I'm trying to keep this as vague as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. I gave too many details, but...
Well, that was big news.
It was huge news. So I said, I don't want to do it. I have this conflict. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they come back to me. Hey, we could work around your conflict. I'm like, okay. Then I had another conflict, legitimate conflict. I can't, I'm doing, oh, okay. We really, really want you. We'll work around the conflict. Almost had a third conflict, but I worked around it. I think it was almost before we did the anniversary, which is now run, kill,
run,
repeat.
Run, hide, die.
Run, hide, die.
Premiere tomorrow night, actually. It's Scarecrow Video.
Really?
Yeah, you going?
I didn't know about it. But
it's on. Maybe. You've got it. You're on the Facebook invite.
I know, okay, right? That's the wrong way to get a hold of me.
That's the only way Colin gets a hold of anybody.
I know. So they tell me they're going to shoot it at Victory Studios. No. What's the green screen one in Everett? Cinesaurus?
Yes.
Okay, so they're gonna shoot at Cinesaurus. And they got the green screen donated. So what the scene was a guy wheels out a bed with a sheet on it, and it's moving, and he pulls it out into the center drop spot. All you see, it's all dark. He just pulls this bed on. There's a camera, and he goes up and he says, "As you requested," and he walks back, and then from the darkness, this cabal-like robed figures encircle just inside the light this bed. And I'm gonna edit this. A person,
good call,
comes in with a tray of knives. They all grab these knives. When the person is leaving, grabs the bed sheet, you find that there is another person. When I say person, think minor.
Not a legal person.
Right. Yeah, not a legal person. Tied on the bed, and they start to close in. There is nothing seen. There is nothing done. It is all implied. Mm-hmm. But it was very creepy. And the fat man is supposed to be naked. Or what I negotiated was boxers. And it may have originally been boxers, but it felt like naked.
No, it was definitely naked. I can vouch for that.
Okay.
Naked was the first question out of the mouth when I was talked to.
So I look at this and I'm thinking, okay, I can get behind this concept. It's being done at a reputable place. I can see how it's going to manage and come out. And I say, how are you shooting this? And he's like, oh, we're doing this all high def digital. Okay, great. Then, yes, I will do this. So, that's supposed to happen on a Saturday. On a Friday, I get a call. Hey, so they pulled the space on us. We're going to be at this other place, which turned out to be a pole barn. For their sensei, who happens to be a stater. So he's Washington State Patrol. So it felt kind of safe, although no one bothered to tell me that. So when I pull up and I see a state trooper car...
You need to watch more Quentin Tarantino movies, man.
I'm a little freaked out. It is also so far out in the middle of BFE that there is no cell reception, there is no GPS, there is no nothing. I'm following handwritten notes of how to get out here.
Beautiful and floral evergreen state. BFE.
Right.
Right.
Show up to this pole barn, which is basically poles with aluminum siding and dirt. And there is nobody there.
Oh, boy.
And I am late. And so I walk in and I'm like, hey, anybody here? Oh, someone comes out of this creepy looking back area. And it's obviously a horse barn. But there's like a little studio on the side with a bunch of movie posters and a bunch of computers in it and kind of a lot of antlers and hunting paraphernalia and, you know, big couches. And it's a little creepy. And I'm like, okay, so I'm here. Oh, hey, you're here. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we're just waiting for everybody to get together. And I'm like, looking around, I'm wondering where things are, how this is going to be done. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we had to make some changes. So I go out and I look. There's like an inflatable mattress on the bottom of this dirt wood chip floor. Mm-hmm. There are scattered about all sorts of abused children's toys.
Okay.
Headless dolls, mm-hmm. Little trikes.
Might have just been there.
Might have just been there. I'm going to guess with the production value these people are going with, it was just there. It was who lived there. Mm-hmm. There was a really creepy tack room, which is where all the horse tack and paraphernalia lives. And we're walking through, and I'm like, okay. And they're like, yeah, so we're not going to be able to bring the bed out. It's just going to be there. The person's just going to be on the thing. And we're going to have the camera set up. Isn't this great? This is like, we got this at Goodwill. And it did look really cool. It was like a 1980s POS VHS video camera. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had the cable. That was the best rig they had, was Jesus that Christ. On the tripod. So I'm like, okay, cool. Well, it's really low light because we're inside a barn. And I'm like, so what are you shooting it on? He's like, oh, I said, how are you shooting this? He's, oh, we're going to do Steadicam. So we've got this awesome Steadicam rig that we just made, and we're going to do everything on Steadicam. I'm like, oh, cool. Can I see it? And he pulls out this pipe mm-hmm. with a board on it with this notch cut in it. And I'm thinking, that is the dumbest mm-hmm. Steadicam thing I've ever seen in my life. And then he produced the camera, which was his iPhone 4, mm-hmm. that he set in the little groove. And it took every ounce of me not to turn the fuck around and walk out going, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But I said, okay, I've said I'm going to do this. I'm building a reputation that when I say yes, I mean yes. Mm-hmm. And I wait for the cabal to show up. The lead actress is playing one of the cabal members. She's an FBI agent.
Okay. In real life?
No. In the movie. But they're going to put a mask on her. Uh-huh. It turns into this BDSM.
Yeah.
Dom subs. Mm-hmm. I want to say, without being insensitive, freak show carnival type body types.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine.
Oddly, yeah. Which is fine. Upped the creep factor.
Yeah.
But the fact that there were seven of them mm-hmm. meant that none of this was going to get pulled off in the way that it was intended.
Right.
And now, this is not even my worst, darkest nightmare of what this day could have been.
Okay.
And shot the fucking thing anyway.
Yeah, so they told me it was going to be on an iPhone. They were proud of it when I
talked. Oh, I had no idea. I was digital.
This is really gorilla, man. This is really gorilla. It's really gorilla. And I'm guessing I popped into this equation right after one of your conflicts, is my guess. If I had to guess when I got asked, I popped in right after one of your conflicts. But yeah, they were like, oh, you know, are you okay with nudity? I was like, okay, I guess. Sure. Can you cover my tattoos?
No, the tattoos are great.
No, I was like, that wasn't for, but then he brought up the iPhone thing. I was like, no, thank you. I don't want to, no. So,
yeah.
But at the time, it was still the wheeling and everything like that. And, what did you even do then? Because, like, that's...
There was a
sit-in-the-corner bit, I think, like, in the script originally.
It was awful.
I read was, like, after I leave, I do the thing, I walk over, and then you're just going to sit in the corner, and there might be a leash. And I'm like, yeah. All right. No. Yeah.
No, I was, like, the evil ringmaster, so I was the top of the food chain.
Okay, maybe it was a rewrite again, then.
Yeah, and it was... You know, this thing, we have all the people in the tack room that they shot a red light in and just looked really creepy and bloody. Mm-hmm. And everybody walked out. Mm-hmm. And then they did this and they kind of positioned everybody and then they kind of moved everybody. I'm like, it's the same seven people. You're not going to fool anybody with angles.
But... It's, well, it's the same seven people, and they all have unique body types.
Yeah, and there's the there's the mattress just lying on the thing with the sheet over it, and they got a stunt guy to be under it, and he's squirming around, and then they put the stunt guy. Yeah,
yeah.
Let's get to the next question. So that was horribly wrong. From this is what was written to this is what we did.
That's true. It's a good story.
Went the wrong way.
It's not a good story. No. It's a terrible story.
So, Paul Moran writes, what kind of changes will be made in Natural 20 with the reassociation with gamers movies?
It's
well, we won't have anyone tied up on a sheet.
Not true. Not true.
What?
So, currently, we're still very, very early, and I'm still working on getting characters created. I'm getting backstories created so that, you know, they have a little depth to them and all that jazz. The big change is the opening scene will now have Gary and Leo back in. So we're skipping, if you've read the 17-page intro piece, we're skipping Marcus and we're skipping, well, basically, so Gary and Leo, it's going to be the original party minus Ryan, essentially, at the pre-wedding game. So I've rewritten all that already, but then they have to run away. They have to go to New York for Gary's business. And that's how I introduce the new characters that we need for the tabletop game piece. But then they'll come back. So don't worry. There's going to be plenty of Gary and Leo. And there may be, but I am not confirming this, so don't, but there may be another gamer's cameo in there as well. Potentially. Maybe. Possibly. Don't get your hopes up. What are you typing? You got to be on the microphone, man. We're podcasting.
I'm podcasting.
All right.
I'm dealing with...
I know. That's fine.
Dealing
with a bed full of... No. No. God, it was so
see
terrible.
How I laughed like Crystal Lake?
Get it.
Yeah, that... Now I just...
Well, unthink of it. Come on, clean your mind. Palate cleanser.
Okay.
Palate cleanser.
We already addressed Mike needing some bardic knowledge today, so he'll get it just late.
We've got something missing.
Right.
But is that the right... No, that's not the one we got missing.
Is the one we have missing...
the Neil.
Neil,
yeah.
Tim. I did not see that anywhere on the Facebook in the posts.
So Neil did a Tim Tam Slam, and we're for that. We're behind that.
Yes, I did not see the video because I thought that
Neil
I would
deGrasse.
Have
he
something.
Called it a Tim Tam straw. It's all right, though.
Yeah.
It's all right. It'll pass. It'll fly.
Yeah.
We'll let it go.
But I did see a comment that seems to make the case that Neil deGrasse Tyson is, in fact, listening to our podcast.
Is that real?
I highly doubt that he is, but I think that we could draw...
Oh.
Reasonable,
yes.
Connection that we've mentioned
Tim Tam Slams him and now he's
a
doing
lot,
yeah.
And Tim Tam Slams.
It's logic. Just logic.
Right. Last question, and again, hey, let's try and wrap this up early. Rob McLennan writes, "What's your favorite quote gorilla shooting location? You know, it's Friday afternoon, and you got a bit you want to commit to digital media." But you don't want to go too far. I think I already know what...
I think we're both going to... Go ahead. It's Camp Long.
Yeah, Camp Long.
Absolutely Camp Long. You will see Camp Long in Journey Quest 2.
Yep.
You will see Camp Long in our Kickstarter video for the Dorkness
Cracked.
Blu-ray.
Yep.
You will see Camp Long in our Cracked video. You will see Camp Long... Well, you'll see the Longfellow Creek Trail, which leads into Camp Long in Barden Away.
And that's what I was like. I was, is it Camp Long or is it that entire?
Yeah, it's that whole thing. But there's a Longfellow Creek Greenbelt and Camp Long, and all of it together is dead in the center of West Seattle. Huge, beautiful. You can feel secluded in like a half a minute.
Yeah.
It's great.
And yet throw a rock and hit a house.
Yeah, for real.
So.
Natural gorilla spot in Washington State, as far as I'm concerned.
And you for small stuff, you can literally have an expansive field, a rock mountain cropping uphill thing.
A structure, a stone step rustic structure.
You can have
cabins.
Little cabins. You can have
creek.
If done right, mm-hmm. some really cool cooking mm-hmm. grates that are look like they're in the middle of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the whole green belt of anything creeks that you want to have.
And creeks, cottonwood trees, and all yeah. sorts of stuff. There's a couple of marshlands. There's bridges.
Yep.
It's great.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that about wraps it up. We should yeah. say thank you to our backers before we get to Neil.
I think we should.
They deserve it more.
They do.
So thank you again. And again, reminder, we are working hard to find a way to get your rewards to you as soon as possible, but also while giving them the love they deserve.
Right. So the August ones will be fulfilled very early in September.
And the September ones will hopefully be fulfilled before by mid-September.
And for the video, help us think of some things.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
And Mr. McKinney, we will look into... So we got your request for Todd. We got your request. Don't worry. Oh,
yes. And that we're
going to do. Don't worry.
That will be done. Yes.
Hopefully soon.
Yes. So shall we start with thank you, Hawk Robinson.
Thank you, Leslie Sedlak.
Thank you, Todd McKimmy.
Thank you, Donald Evans.
Have we set a precedence? Thank you, Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
Thank you, Bradley Swan.
Thank you, Trampas Johnson.
Thank you, Gordon Duke.
Thank you, Bo Pritchard.
Thank you, Digby Davis, LLC.
Thank you, Paula Moran.
Thanks, Amanda Cook.
Thank you, Mark Bevier.
Thank you, James Herbert.
Thanks, Adam Morey.
Hey, thank you, Matthew Hunt. What's it? Ta, Matt. No, that's not Australian. I don't know. Fair dinkum, Matthew Hunt. Let's go with that one.
From...
Your true blue.
From the two douche hats.
Are we douche hats?
Is that what Mr. Martin calls us?
I don't know. Probably.
I don't know. I get lumped in because you slam on Spokane. Anyway, thank you, Tim Martin.
Thank you, Rob McLennan.
Thank you, Lotta Jerf.
Thank you, Laura Adams.
Thank you, Tom Brophy. You need to start writing questions.
Seriously, Tom. Thank you. Hold on, I got to get... Thank you, Tom Stewart.
Thank you, Dougie Potato Pope Sharp.
Thank you, Justin Everett, who doesn't live in Everett.
No.
No.
So he's not just in Everett.
He's not Justin Everett.
Everywhere but Justin Everett. Thank you, Brad Roberts.
Thank you, Jennifer Reifenberry.
Thank you, Rival Gui.
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 Rival
thank
Gui.
You, Rival Gui.
And thank you, Chad Honays Jones. Chad Honays Jones.
Chad Honays Jones. C.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson.
If you're listening.
Please come on. And I want to talk about, I got a list now. I want to talk about entanglement and the new experiment that showed quantum entanglement maybe is a real thing. The spooky nature of that, what it means for communication, what it means potentially for communication over long distances, what it means for cryptology. I also want to talk about the new Hawking theory about black holes and potentially not dying when you go in them and actually potentially getting to other universes. That's interesting to me.
What does that guy know?
How to eat a Tim Tam, I guess.
I meant Hawking.
Oh!